Let's face it, most real estate investors look pretty similar on the surface, purchasing deals, looking for the next deal. But here's the big question. How do you stand out from a crowded sea of investors?
It all comes down to personal branding. In today's episode, we have serial entrepreneur Stephanie Carden. She will talk about how you can truly build your personal brand that goes beyond coming up with a LLC name and a pretty logo.
Welcome to the Investor Podcast. I'm Liz Faircloth.
And I am your co-host, Andressa Gadelli. Stephanie, as real estate investors, we're always looking to stand out from others. Many of us are guilty to spend a lot of time thinking about the name of our LLC or the shape of our logo, and we get overwhelmed with so many social media platforms and strategies, and we get stuck into building our personal brand. So for all the ladies that are listening to us right now and want to build their personal brand, what is the first step that one needs to take to get this process started?
The first step is to figure out what is your message? What is the message that you're trying to get across to your ideal client or target audience? And you want to really hone in on that message. And once you know what that message is, and of course, that can change and evolve over the years as you change and evolve as a person or as a brand. But to get started, we need to start with that message. And then we can layer in all of the platforms and the tactics. But until you have that clarity on what that message is, it's hard to start building that personal brand. So that is the first step.
One thing that I want to share about messaging, which is one of the mistakes that Liz and I totally made when we got started.
One of the many.
Guilty here too, by the way. Guilty. We're all guilty here too.
Because you try to serve everybody. Oh, we are selling to everybody. We want to buy everywhere. We want to not a target audience. Can you talk a little bit about the negative of not having a very specific avatar to target?
And it's something that can be very challenging for so many of us because we all look at the products and services that we offer. We're like, this can serve anyone and everyone. Like, we want to help absolutely everyone, right? And that's how it is for us at Entrepreneurista, right? We're like, we want to help serve all entrepreneurs and give everyone the resources. But you then have to get really narrow and think about who specifically are you talking to that when they see your message, it's really going to resonate right away. They're going to get it and they're going to say like, yes, I'm in. Because while you're offer or what you're doing can serve lots of people. If you get really specific with that exact type of person that you want to serve, and now you start speaking to her, if that is your audience, she's going to see that. And right away, she's going to be like, yes, that's me. I want in. Whereas if you're speaking generally to everyone, it's harder to connect with those general statements.
Stephanie, is there a point though? Obviously, the key is the ideal client, and you might have a couple, right? People listening might have sellers they're trying to buy their homes from. You know, they might have people they want to partner with in terms of raising money. There's a lot of reasons. But even beyond that, is there work that someone needs to do to say, why do I really want to create a personal brand? Like really just taking a big step back and even like the why behind it. We always say to people in real estate investing is, you know, we can go through tactics and markets and the who, but if you don't know, what's the why, right? What's the purpose of all of this? So what are some of those questions, like the deeper work we like to say that, you know, women need to ask themselves, get really clear with, and then going to the ideal client and then going to the message?
Absolutely. So I would say for anyone that wants to build their business, right? Your personal brand is a part of that. It's an extension, but it's also potentially the first touch point of what your business actually is. Because at the end of the day, we all know this. And I feel like I say this on repeat every single day to everyone. People want to do business with people they know, love, and trust, right? So typically when you're doing business, you're connecting with another person. So even if this is someone who works at a corporation, You're not doing business with XYZ corporation. You're doing business with the person that works at that corporation or at that company. So how can you make that connection with them? And the first step to make these connections really is through the person, through the personal brand, and feeling that you can see yourself in that person, or you see they're an expert in something and you feel connected to them in some way. So you want to take that next step to talk to them, to learn about them and potentially work with their company. So the personal brand is usually nowadays, especially that first touch point to then work with someone.
I had an experience another day. I'll share. I think I shared with you already, Liz. So I went to this person's website and I'm like, am I on the right place here? Because that person that I just talked seems very vivid, bubbly, full of life. This website is gray, full of stock pictures. And when I go to like meet the team, I swear to God, there was a picture of a table with empty chairs.
No, that's like, so sad.
But it was just a stock picture, right? Like
picture.
And they had, I don't know, I think it was their will there. Like talking about everybody's small font and this like lecture about the team. And I didn't see a person, like a picture of who is Johnny, who is Susie, who are they? And I felt very disconnected. Although the company seemed very legit and serious about it, I couldn't get to who are they as people, which comes to what you're saying, just said it right now. You are a company, but people want to do business with people. And I felt so disconnected.
Did it make you feel like you don't trust this company because it looks like they're not taking care of their brand and their website? And
100%.
Yeah.
I'm like, when was the last time you guys went on your own website?
And you know what? I was going to say, like, nowadays, there are just so many tools and so many affordable tools out there that didn't exist years ago where you can create a website, a beautiful website with beautiful branding, templates, colors, like all the things can be done relatively easy now. And you can, you know, hire someone pretty affordably to put it together for you. So I feel like nowadays, like, there's no excuse to not have a put together business brand and personal brand. If you take a bit of time to invest in building it, it will pay dividends because look, they likely just now lost potential customers because of you. And now you're talking about it on a podcast, right?
So here's the website.
Don't do that.
But I think that sometimes people focus much more on their web, their LLC name. Oh, mm-hmm. My company is ABC Properties. Who cares? I don't care at this point when people are building relationships. I don't care. And I've seen it a lot of times because I remember having a hard time choosing my LLC name back in the day and look at the logos and all the above. So I think people get a little bit confused when we talk about brand versus part. The logo is part of the brand. The website is part of the brand. What are the other core pieces that makes a brand?
Oh, I love this. Okay, so let's talk about the personal brand right now. So we are all these incredible, unique individuals and experts in certain fields and areas, right? Through the personal brand, we can make connections and show the world what our expertise is through different channels, through different mediums. And now I'm going to take everyone back for just a moment. You don't have to show up everywhere, right? So the first thing I talked about was we have to get really clear on like what our message is. What do we want to put out there to the world? Who is our ideal client, customer? Who do we want to connect with? Where are they spending their time? Because just because we want to show up on Instagram, it doesn't mean that that's where our customers are spending their time. So sure, we can show up there and, you know, hope that some people will find us there, but let's get clear on where our actual customers are and make a plan and a strategy to show up in those places. Because your strategy on different channels and how you show up is going to be very different, right? You know, if you decide that I'm making this up right now because this is a real estate podcast, that you need to be showing up on Nextdoor maybe,
I personally don't even know what the strategy would be on that yet, because I haven't specialized in helping people there. But maybe there's a strategy on how to show up as an expert on Nextdoor where all of your potential clients are, right?
I have an example.
Yeah, go ahead.
So like go with LinkedIn, right? So I'm someone who's looking to potentially raise money, find private lenders, right? I'm tapped. I have a few properties and I'm like, I want to buy more. I'm tapped out financially. I've heard LinkedIn. LinkedIn obviously has more people in corporate and people who quite honestly have money, have a job, corporate job, don't have the time to invest. So likely is a very good place for maybe to find private lenders specifically. So now I'm going to talk about my personal brand there. Like, how do I approach that?
Oh, I love this. Okay. So you're not going to necessarily talk about your personal brand on LinkedIn. You are going to position yourself as an expert and authority in your area of expertise on LinkedIn. So what does that look like? On LinkedIn, one, of course, we want to show up professionally. You want to have a beautiful headshot. You want to have a cover photo. You can even add a call to action on that cover photo. Maybe it's a link that goes out to your website or some type of free downloadable that you're sharing about in that cover photo. It's a really great piece of real estate. You're going to be sure that your bio and background and expertise is really clear in that bio section. You're going to request that people give you recommendations on LinkedIn. And you, again, you fill out that profile very clearly and carefully so that when people do discover you, all of your information is there and it's easy. So now let's talk about the actual content strategy on LinkedIn. You want to share your expertise. So what does this look like? You need to provide value to other people. On LinkedIn, this isn't a place where it's about me, 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 me. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. I'm speaking at this event. I'm doing that. That's great. You can sprinkle that stuff in. But what people are going on LinkedIn for is to connect and to learn. So when I say sharing value, you know, as a real estate investor, maybe you want to be sharing your tips of how to get started in real estate investing. Maybe you want to, you know, for the two of you, obviously, like sharing about your podcast episode and your guests that are on and tagging them. So you're continually talking about your industry, your area of expertise, and when people are reading your content, you're adding value. And now what happens is, every day as people are logging on LinkedIn, they're seeing your content list, they're seeing your content address. And now when they come across other people in their network or at events and they're like, oh, someone says I want to get started in real estate investing, they're like, oh, you need to connect with Liz. I just saw her post about this, right? And now other people know what you do and can make those connections, can make those referrals, and you're top of mind for everyone. So that's where I would start on LinkedIn.
I think there's a huge pendulum where some people share so much, right? The Starbucks order, what did they do in their trip? And it gets like, oh my gosh, the relevance, I think, get diluted depending on what industry you are and what's the purpose, right? Or who you want to attract. On the other side of the pendulum, you have those folks that are very private and they are also concerned about posting a single thing. I have an example of that. My sister, she's very successful in her business. Recently, she went to London and participated in a conference in a competition. She won that competition in London. She struggles so much to make a single freaking post. And I know that because last time that we were together, I'm like, go ahead, post. She's like, oh, no, hold on a second. I need to look a little bit. I need to redo this and I need to go ahead and I need to change the copy of it. Oh, I don't like this color. Do I like this font? Is this big enough? Is this small enough? I'm like, Jesus Christ, just post it. And when she posts, she gets so much high engagement, super high, because she has a great relationship with her audience. Yeah. So I said, imagine if you went even further and really posted authentically. Yeah, I don't look good. Who cares? And nowadays, I think that is, I want to ask you about that. Nowadays, organic content, I believe, is where the trends are going, much more than polished and edited. Absolutely. I want to hear more about that from you.
Yes. Well, the first thing I'll say, I love that story. Done is better than perfect. Just post the posts. Just post it, right? it doesn't matter. It goes away, right? It's not yet. Yeah, sure, it's permanently living there on your feed and maybe you'll have to look at it in the future, but no one else is thinking about that after they see it after the first couple of minutes. It is that chance to authentically engage. And absolutely, it's the real authentic connection with your audience, with your community that people connect and relate to. It's not the glossy photo. It's not the, you know, photoshopped headshot that, you know, we all took 10 years to make. That's not what people connect with and care about. It's the real, genuine, authentic connections. And I experienced this firsthand. You know, years ago, I struggled with infertility and went through a complicated fertility journey. And I was sharing everything I was going through on social media to be able to connect with other people. One, so other people didn't feel alone. But two, I was sharing to then connect with the right people who could help me during that time. And I was not sitting there obsessing over like, should I share this? Should I not share this? I'm like, I just need to connect and post because that's how we form and make these genuine, authentic connections. And my daughter is literally here to this day now because I did that. And if I had sat there saying like, I don't know if I should post this, I wouldn't have my daughter.
Wow.
Wow.
So let's bring that one step further. So you're sharing about your infertility. Is that part of your personal brand? And then were you also sharing and sprinkling in business tips and strategies? Like, so how did you holistically approach that? And I think that's something that women are trying to figure out.
Yeah. So I'll take you back right now. So Courtney and I, we started our first business, Socialfly. Now, I always say 12 plus years ago, but now the years just keep going by. And I think it's like 13, 14 years ago now.
Six plus years.
Right, yeah, like 12 plus years ago. So, you know, we start the business in the early days of social media. We were one of the first social media agencies. And we built our business and personal brand by we got the advice to join a networking group. And this is where we saw the power of all of this happening, right? We were living in New York City at the time. We joined this networking group. And from there, we saw like we were in that group positioned as the social media experts. So like on this small scale with a group of 50 people, we're now the only social media experts out there. So now everyone there in the group is referring all of the business to us. They're coming to us for, you know, oh, we heard this person needs us someone to speak at their real estate office. Actually, it was one of the first speaking engagements that we had.
There you go, full cycle.
Can you speak at this real estate office and talk to the brokers about building their brand? This is wild that we're having this conversation. This is one of the first speaking engagements that we had. We had never gone and spoken in a real estate office before. We were brand new starting this agency, but we got up there and we did it. And we saw, okay, when we position ourselves as the social media experts, the business starts to come, the opportunities start to come. So, okay.
You know what I've learned from years of speaking? The right stage doesn't just amplify your message. It builds your credibility. It positions you as a leader people remember. So what sets the top 1% of entrepreneurs apart? Authority. And nothing builds faster than stepping onto the TEDx stage with over 43 million YouTube subscribers. It is the biggest platform for ideas that spread like wildfire. Leader is making this possible. They're the number one company helping people land TEDx talks with over 650 talks booked for their clients. Want in? Head over to leader.co/events. to book your free TEDx strategy session. That's leader.co/events. They'll help you refine your message, create a custom plan, and as a bonus, they'll even guarantee your first 50,000 views. Again, that's leader.co/events, leader.co/events.
Okay, we need to focus on not just building our business brand, Socialfly, but also building our personal brand because people want to connect with me and they want to connect with Courtney. So we realized this very early on, and it was us building our personal brands was super organic. The two of us, we never sat down to be like, what type of, you know, content are we going to be sharing each day on social media? And by the way, back then there was no Instagram stories when we first started. It was like, we were building strategies on like Facebook and Twitter back then. Like there was no, Instagram had like literally just launched. Stories came a few years later. So we were just sharing in the squares on Facebook and Twitter and talking about what was going on. And we were growing our email list. And the story from there is like all of these platforms evolve and change over the years. You have to stay up to date on what's happening and figure out how to, you know, weave everything together. But we didn't sit down and say like, what should our personal brand be? We were like, we're going to be ourselves and position ourselves as leaders in social media. And we're also going to share the behind the scenes of what's going on building our business and what's going on just organically in our personal lives. And it really just became this evolution of who we were, and it was working. But neither of us back then, we never sat down to be like, here's how we're going to build our personal brand. Today, I think knowing what we know now, I would recommend that. But again, I would make it super authentic and organic to who you are. And back to the story you shared, Andressa, about your sister. It was your sister, right?
Yeah.
Having this conversation. So, you know, everyone has to be comfortable sharing what they want to share. And at the end of the day, you know, if you want to build your business and you want to build your personal brand, sure, you're going to have to go outside of your comfort zone. People don't believe me when I share this, but like, I don't like speaking to camera on Instagram. I find it like so uncomfortable for me personally, right? I do it and I'll push myself to do it, but I like sharing like with like in text and photos. For me, that's easier, an easier way for me to communicate. So do what feels comfortable to you. There's always ways around these different strategies and tactics based on what you are comfortable with. And if you don't want to put all of your life and your business out there, like that's okay. You don't, there's still ways to build your personal brand without having to show like every doctor appointment you're going to. Like I show a lot of these things because that's how I've been able to connect with so many people, and that's me, but that's not everyone. And you have to do what feels right for you and what feels right for your personal brand and for your business.
And I think the ultimate goal is to really attract your avatar and people who relate to you and repel those that are not part of it, right? Liz and I are so much on the same page about who we want to attract to the investor community and who we want to repel, that we're not on the same page. It is all good, but this is not the place for certain people. We're not for everybody here, and it's totally fine. I think that, you know, and I hear this so much, like when people get hate comments, hate emails, super simple. Stop, unfollow that person. Don't need to consume that comment, but there's no need to have that type of toxic social media, right? There are certain people that they have their own style. I'll give you a very specific example about it. Sometimes their posts are so long that I'm like, they just vomit their brain here and they're going on and on, on and on. I don't know the point of this. And that's very inefficient to me, Andressa. So I am not this person's avatar. I don't read the whole thing. I think it's like, get to the freaking point. To me here, right? But it might be for other people. Same thing with video, right? As you mentioned, you want to communicate, you feel comfortable communicating better with text and things like that. That being said, do you feel that the way people consume content nowadays change it? And therefore, the way that we are sending emails and posting on social also needs some sort of adaptation because of that?
Definitely. And these platforms and strategies and tactics change all the time, especially when we are dependent on the algorithms of these social platforms. So you have to follow, and I'll use Instagram, for example. If Instagram is a place where you're looking to attract your ideal client, the entire platform has changed, and it changes every couple of months based on not what's important to you, it's what's important to the Instagram algorithm. So then you need to potentially pivot your content strategy to then be able to get in front of more people, right? So you see all the time on Instagram right now, people are starting their content with a hook to grab your attention, because otherwise it's so easy. You just like keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Or now there's tools out there that we've now started using that are incredible. Do you use ManyChat? Have you tried ManyChat?
Yeah.
So tools like ManyChat, where you can get have people comment a certain word and then you get into the DMs. And this is also something I've been talking about for years. Instagram DMs, this is where the real opportunity is, right? The content on your social media and on Instagram, that's your top of funnel, right? That's getting people interested in you. But ultimately, to get someone to take an action to actually do something, you need to get into people's DMs and start having real, authentic, genuine connections with them on Instagram, building that relationship. Because at the end of the day, building your personal brand is all about building connections and relationships with people and then taking that connection to the next step, depending on what your business is. So taking it offline, getting people to join your community, coming to an event, like what action do you want people to take to get involved and become a client, customer, whatever it may be? That's going to happen in the DMs. And that's also going to happen then from getting someone's email address. And now we saw, obviously, we all just saw what just happened recently with TikTok, right? And obviously, Instagram's gone down before. If you build your business and your personal brand dependent on one channel and you don't own that channel and that channel goes down, what happens? Can't connect to your audience. Terrible. Terrible. So you have to be sure that you're diversifying the channels that you are on. You are not solely dependent on one channel. And at the end of the day, you need to own your audience. And what I mean by owning your audience is you need their email address and you probably want to get them into a community that's not dependent specifically on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X, Pinterest, any of the social platforms. Use it as top of funnel, get their email address, and then get them into a channel that you own.
And if you hear women, you don't hear them saying this, but in their minds are saying, well, why do I need to build a community? I want to buy my next investment property, right? I want to raise money or what have you. So why is that something that, you know, women listening should consider?
A community doesn't have to be like building a community like Entreprenista or other communities that you're building. It doesn't mean you have to build that type of community. A community could be, you know, your email list, right? You could be sending out a weekly newsletter and staying connected to your clients and customers. And it's a way to connect with them in a place that you actually own. If you have someone's email address, God forbid, even like your email platform is not around anymore, they go out of business, like you still have all of those email addresses you can get on another platform and you still have a way to, you know, even if you have to send them an old school email through Gmail, you can do that, right? You have their information to connect with them. If TikTok and Instagram go down, how are you going to connect with all those people? You literally cannot connect with them. And now you've spent all of this time just building on that channel. So at the very least, make sure you have people's email addresses to be able to connect with them. And now for a community, again, this can look like building communities like we're building. It can look like all different things. So I don't want, you know, your listeners to feel like, oh my gosh, I have to now go build this next thing. You don't have to do that. You absolutely do not. You can, you don't have to. There's other ways to build community without building like a physical community.
A lot of people that are thinking like, oh my gosh, let me take a deep breath here, right? And see where I am, who I am, what's next for my company. Is it fair to say, though, that if you don't have a social media presence, if you don't have a, if you're private, don't have a social media presence, neither a website, is it fair to say that you're basically dead to the world?
Potentially. I think that's fair. I don't know how people would find you and connect with you. And I feel like your impact can only go so far, right? So if your goal is to make impact and to reach more people, it is challenging to do that if your personal brand or your business brand is not, if you don't have a website, if you don't have an email list, if you don't even have a social channel or presence, like I don't know how anyone would be able to connect with you and find you.
You know, one thing that I hear when I encourage a lot of women to say, go on podcasts, share your real estate experience, because then you're communicating with so many people. And you know what I hear from them? I don't want to be famous. And I'm like, wait a minute. Do you really? Hold on a second. I don't wake up every morning and say,
I want to be famous. No.
I don't want to be famous either.
Right.
Right. It's not for that reason that we have InvestorCon and I go on stage. I have a 30 minute breakout. Every time that I go on stage, I ask myself when I'm having this anxiety attack, why do I choose to do this? Right? It goes back to my mission and what I stand for women to become financially free, because I believe that's their birthright. And based on my story, what I went through, I don't want other women to have to go through that. And I think financial freedom is the key.
Yes.
So when I hear women saying, I don't want to be an influencer, don't want to be you know, famous. So I don't have to do those things. I think, though, that then it puts a lot of pressure on all the investors to hunt for the deals, to hunt for buyers or sellers or possible partnerships. And I have plenty of examples where when you have your social media presence and your website with a form over there, you attract people versus going to have to hunt for every single thing. Oh my gosh, who is that person that I emailed me that time? What is their name? And just like trying to do that. Does that make sense in terms of like shifting the mindset from hunting to attracting?
Yes. And what I would say back to the women that share that with you is I would say to them, but do you want to make impact? And do you want to grow a profitable, sustainable business that is easier for you when you do put yourself and your business out there and you have a real plan and strategy? So what is that impact that you want to make? And that goes back to what we were chatting about in the beginning is, you know, what is your mission? Why do you want to build a brand, or why do you think you need a brand? And let's get really clear on that messaging and put that out to the world over and over again. So when they think of, you know, when I think of either of you, right, I think of real estate investing because the content that you're putting out over and over again. So like Liz, anytime in the Entrepreneurista League, someone mentions real estate or real estate investing, I'm like, I tag you, hey, go connect with Liz. Like, get into Liz's community. She can share more about this because you're putting out that message over and over again. So you're top of mind. So if you want to make impact and you want to be top of mind and you want to have an easier time building your business, focus on building your personal brand, because as we talked about before, like, this is the year to do it. Don't wait. Just get started.
And why is this the year to do it?
If you don't focus on this, everyone else is, you're going to be left behind.
Pretty much.
Like, this is how we connect. This is how we connect and build businesses, because we are people connecting with people. And there's so much noise out there. None of us have time to waste. We're all trying to build our businesses. Many of us have families, and we are busy getting pulled in a million different directions, right? So we have clarity on what we want to do and what we need to build. And we want to work with people and connect with people that are the experts. And if the experts are making it really clear on who they are and why we should work with them, we're going to find them faster and we're going to be able to build our business faster working with them. So be very clear. Make sure your messaging is very direct. You're attracting the right people, and you'll then connect with the right people for your life, for your business. You'll be putting out the right content to be able to attract all the right people that are not just going to help you in like your business, but in your life too.
I just want to make one quick point. We talked to our podcast editor yesterday, and he said, don't be afraid to repeat yourself. So when you said over and over again, it's consistency, but often we'll say, I've talked about that story. And, you know, we lost, you know, over $700,000 in a deal. And I'm like, I've talked about that so many times, but it's not, but, and okay, what about that story needs to get repeated or shared again? What if it was something that, you know, really resonated with people of, you know, really having a hard time through a deal, right? Or whatever it might be. So point being is don't be afraid to be consistent, and don't be afraid to do it over and over again.
Yes.
Right? Because people forget who people are, let alone their messaging. So,
and people have to see things 5, 6, 7, 8 times to even first take an action. And the other thing is the story you just shared, Liz, about losing $700,000. Guess what? I've never heard that story. So if I'm a new listener and I've now just started listening to your podcast, you know, other people who maybe have listened for years, maybe they heard that story. And actually, maybe some of your listeners haven't even heard that story because they didn't listen to that episode, or maybe they didn't see that post on Instagram or LinkedIn. Because again, remember, everyone's busy, right? And you have to be sharing things that are going to cut through the noise, but also, and people just might not see it because we're dependent on these algorithms, right? And that's why, again, podcasts are great. Talking about building community and building audience, podcasts are great. You own that audience. You can directly speak to your audience. They've subscribed to you. They are connected to you. Like, your content isn't going anywhere, but not everyone's going to see it. So make that messaging clear. Talk about it over and over and over and over again, even if it feels exhausting to you because you shared it so much, but that is your message. And then you are going to continue to attract the right people and everyone will know who to connect you with and refer to you.
Love that. I love that. Share what will cut through the noise. All right, Stephanie, where can everyone listening learn more about you and follow you on your journey?
Yes, head over. I am personally on Instagram and LinkedIn at Steph Jill Cartin, C-A-R-T-I-N, and connect with us over in the Entreprenista community. We are at Entreprenistas with an S at the end, everywhere on social. And then our Entreprenista League community, you can join at entreprenista.com/join. And yeah, feel free to DM me, connect. Seriously, head over to my DM, say hello, say you heard this show and would love to connect with everyone right there.
Awesome. All this information you guys can find on our show notes. Go ahead and connect with Stephanie. Stephanie, such a pleasure. I think I can continue talking about branding for hours. I have a lot of questions, but thanks so much for your time here with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Stephanie.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.